Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week in the United States and in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Rocky Flats environmental cover-up when we come back right after this message. You know, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep 41% of what you create and produce. Your government gets 59%. Now, that's about $20,000 for you and $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just kind of special? Now, if you think that your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard, produce twice as much, and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes just like you did this year. And you're going to net 24%, and the government's going to net 76%. Now, that means that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you're going to net a whole $4,000 more, or 8% more net take-home pay than you did this year. Now, that's guaranteed by Congress and the IRS, by the way. That's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves into the top 5% of income earners nationwide and then only net 24% of it. Now, why don't you call today and order my free 4-hour CD package and let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information that answers many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is that we pay so much and receive so little. Now, in order for you to order that free general law CD package, all you have to do is call direct 417-273-4967, or you can go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. You've probably heard the name Rocky Flats Arsenal. Well, new evidence of a massive cover-up by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Department of Justice relative to the widespread contamination of Colorado's Rocky Flats nuclear weapons plant was manifested at a Wednesday press conference organized by anti-nuclear activists held to discuss their opposition to the reservation becoming a wilderness refuge and public recreation area. Now, although it's slated to recount the serious environmental crimes that he had previously investigated, FBI agent Don Lipsky, the FBI agent who led an FBI raid on Rocky Flats back in 1989, was at the last minute barred by his superiors from the explicating of such crimes. Lipsky said, "I received a call from the FBI ordering me not to talk about the Rocky Flats case, so I can't tell you what I came here to tell you," Lipsky said at a news conference in Denver. Previously, Lipsky had joined a citizen's investigation which published the nonfiction book, The Ambushed Grand Jury, published by Apex Press New York in 2004. It documents the Department of Justice and the Department of Energy cover-up of widespread contamination at the former nuclear weapons plant. Lipsky was slated to explain his concerns that government plans to allow recreation at the former nuclear weapons plant are based on false and inadequate data. Lipsky, now assigned to an FBI field office in California, took vacation time to travel to Denver. The FBI, however, called him en route the day prior to the press conference and told him that discussing such cases with the media without pre-approval would violate FBI policy. Lipsky, however, did say that he supported the activists trying to stop the former nuclear weapons plant from becoming a wilderness refuge and public recreation area. "As a father and a fellow human being, I urge you not to allow recreation at Rocky Flats. I'm sorry, but I cannot tell you anymore," unquote. Now, current plans for the transformation of Rocky Flats, it contains 6,240 acres, and it's about 16 miles upwind from Denver, Colorado, into such an area after the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service takes control of the property sometime in the year 2006. In their 280-page The Ambushed Grand Jury, the authors, Karen Balcony, an anti-nuclear activist and volunteer lawyer, and Colorado cowboy Wes McKinley, who also served 3 years as the foreman of a special grand jury convened back in 1989 to hear charges of nuclear crimes committed by the U.S. government and its defense contractor, unravel the government nuclear crimes at Rocky Flats plant and how a band of persevering individuals courageously caught the government red-handed. Lipsky led FBI agents. They raided the Rocky Flats arsenal in 1989 to investigate alleged environmental crimes involving, in part, illegal disposal and storage of radioactive waste on the site. In August of 1989, A special grand jury was convened to hear the allegations, but the U.S. Department of Justice arbitrarily ended the investigation in March 1992. Rockwell International, the former plant operator, was fined $18.5 million. The book, which is entering its second printing, is also about a courageous whistleblower and a former plutonium plant employee, Jacques Brewer, and FBI agent Lipsky, who saw years of hard work investigating environmental criminality undermined by his own superiors and the United States government. In the book, The Citizens' Grand Jury, it recounts how Lipsky, the FBI agent, after years of methodical preparation and investigation, led the historic FBI raid on the Rocky Flats plant, the first time the Bureau ever served a search warrant on the United States government, and only to see the U.S. Justice Department sell out his case. Later, the U.S. Justice Department ordered him to lie about what had happened with the criminal investigation. Outraged, Special Agent Lipsky instead joined the citizens' investigation to help uncover the secrets of Rocky Flats. And it also tells the story of Brewer, who blew the whistle on repeated safety violations and secret illegal midnight plutonium burning at the Rocky Flats site after the facility had been ordered to shut down. Subsequently, in 1989, someone tried to kill her by intentionally contaminating her with the deadly radioactivity to stop her from testifying. Before the special grand jury, well, she testified anyway. And despite her expert testimony, the government sabotaged her 2 days of testimony by falsely claiming that she was not a very reliable source. Distraught and fearful of the continuing assaults on her and her young daughter, she fled Colorado and disappeared for almost 10 years. Yet, in failing health and still fearful of the dangers that almost killed her, she eventually came out of hiding to join the citizens' grand jury investigation. Today, she's undergoing treatment for thyroid cancer. The other key hero in the tale of how the U.S. government has held the health of an unsuspecting public hostage in the name of corporate greed, at the same time bilking the nation's taxpayers of millions of dollars and attempting to discredit those patriots who sought to expose their corrupt practices, is Wes McKinley. McKinley is the foreman, or was the foreman, of the 1989 to 1992 federal grand jury that sought to investigate the insidious relationship between the U.S. Department of Energy and Rockwell International. He saw the U.S. Department of Justice ambush his 23-member panel and seal their grand jury report detailing the evidence of nuclear crimes and lethal contamination, in addition to threatening those same jurors with prison if they so much as talked about it. He also witnessed the Justice Department lie to the grand jury, Congress, and the public about what the Energy Department, Rockwell Alliance, had really been doing at Rocky Flats. The objective was to keep it all secret. Rocky Flats, where the triggers for America's nuclear arsenal were made, has the reputation of being one of the most contaminated nuclear facilities in the United States, although its production facilities have been closed since 1992. Unwilling to accept being made victims, it was through McKinley's sense of justice and Balkany's initial investigative efforts that a citizens' grand jury investigation was launched. The ambushed grand jury, which details their citizens' investigation, and the additional information can be obtained online at www.ambushedgrandjury.com. Again, that's www.ambushedgrandjury.com. The authors are donating all of their profits to nuclear watchdog and environmental groups around the country. Now, outraged over Lipsky being gagged, Balkany told this editor, "Why does the government try so hard to keep the public from knowing the truth about Rocky Flats?" Well, they obstructed the Rocky Flats grand jury and a congressional investigation back in the early 90s. Now they're trying to stop an FBI agent on his own time from talking about his concerns about public recreation at the Rocky Flats site. Brewer, who has launched the United to Keep Rocky Flats Closed, a Colorado-based informational program dedicated to stopping the government's current plans for turning the area into a recreational area, also related to this editor, the Department of Energy is using old, falsified data as a basis of the cleanup. They were caught by the FBI using this false data clear back in 1989, and now they're using that same false data again. That is amazing arrogance. At the press conference, Brewer, who has a Bachelor of Science degree in Environmental Restoration and Waste Management and a Master's degree in Environmental Policy and Management, presented an analysis of the Department of Energy's cleanup plans for four areas at Rocky Flats, and the cover-up continues. In her summary of issues, she stresses that, first of all, the Department of Energy made false representations to the regulators as the basis of a cleanup plan, and the Department of Energy knew them to be false because the FBI investigation proved them false back in 1989 to 92. The Department of Energy resubmitted these plans to the regulators anyway, and as a result, large areas of land contaminated with radioactive and toxic wastewater were omitted from the cleanup. Two, the Department of Energy omitted two other areas of known contamination from the cleanup. in areas which the Department of Energy admits are prone to earth movement. 3, the Department of Energy's cleanup of the area immediately adjacent to and up gradient from the majority of the public recreational areas in the wildlife refuge violates the regulatory standards in 2 places. Together with 8 other nearby areas of residual contamination, this poses a risk of public exposure to contamination because, as the Department of Energy admits, these areas are prone to earth movement. 4, the Department of Energy laboratory results remain unreliable. Well, we got to take a break here, so hang on. We'll be back with more on the Rocky Flats Arsenal cover-up when we come back. Don't go away. All right, you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Well, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs are the 2nd and the 8th planks of the Communist Manifesto. These programs call for a heavy progressive income tax in place of tithing. Social Security is a welfare scheme, a social welfare scheme that takes the place of strict liability and individual responsibility. The income tax requires of us that we serve 2 masters in violation of Matthew 6, verse 24, and this income tax requires of us that we rob God in violation of Malachi 3, verse 8. The income tax requires of us that we commit idolatry in violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. The income tax requires that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. The income tax requires that we sign contracts with their foreign and alien gods in violation of Exodus 23, verse 32, and Social Security violates the strict liability statute in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. And Social Security violates the 10th commandment by appealing to our lust and greed, and then you and I are taught to call that income redistribution. The scripture calls it just what it is, covetousness and theft, in violation of Exodus 20, verses 15 and 17. Now, you know, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers followed a better way than that in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, and that's why I contend that you and I ought to learn how to practice a better way than Social Security and income tax. Now, for more information about tax and status, why don't you call me here at the law school? The number's 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. That's a 4-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. Remember, it's entertaining, educational, informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Tax and Status is also available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, just go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send me an email request. Remember, that's your free general law CD package. Or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, tonight we're talking about the Rocky Flats Nuclear Arsenal. That Rocky Flats Arsenal, about 6,000 acres, is up north of Denver, Colorado, right at the edge of the Rocky Mountains, or at the foot of the Rocky Mountains. Now, you know, people make a lot of to-do. There's a political campaign going on right now as I speak that Senator John Kerry said out at Yucca Flats, Nevada, Yucca Mountain, Nevada. He said, not on my watch. We're not going to bury any nuclear waste, you know, buried inside this mountain. And yet, here at Rocky Flats, 6,000 acres, 16 miles from downtown Denver, you've got tons of contaminated soil, tons of contamination, much worse than Times Beach or Love Canal. And the government says to cover this up, what we'll do is we'll tear down all the buildings, haul it away, bury it, and then we'll give this to the Fish and Wildlife Service and let people come in here for recreation. We'll just make a park out of it. Now, you'll notice here in the story that not only are they going to make a park out of it, but this contaminated waste that's now contaminated 6,000 acres is sitting out here right next to a heavily populated area, and the nuclear waste that was stored there is seeping into the groundwater. The area around Denver, Colorado is some of the most polluted, contaminated real estate in the United States. It's been that way for 30 or 40 years. Everybody's known about it. The surprising thing is that they're not going to clean it up. What they're going to do is cover it up. It kind of reminds me of the story of milk. You know, around the turn of the century, back in 1900, we had dirty milk. That dirty milk was making people sick, and there was a choice to be made. And that choice was clean up the milk or pasteurize it. Clean up the milk. Or boil it so that you can kill the pathogens and let people continue to drink the dirty milk with dead pathogens. Well, the cheapest, easiest thing to do is pasteurize it. When somebody says that the milk is pasteurized, what they're saying to you is the milk is dirty, but we killed the pathogens in it. I don't want to drink dirty milk, so I make it a point to drink clean, raw milk. Now, my common sense tells me that if you've got a dirty, contaminated area, you know, like Times Beach or Love Canal, you need to clean it up. And it's expensive, and it's nasty, and we don't like it, and it's expensive, and so on. Okay, but it has to be done. Well, it's either that or you cover it up and ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. All right, so let's cover up Rocky Flats, and let's give it to the Fish and Wildlife Service of Colorado, and let's let them turn it into a public park, and then 50 years from now, people will be getting cancer, and they'll be getting sick, you know, like people do down in the lower Mississippi River, where all of those where all of those chemical plants are located, and people are dying from cancer. And then one day you wake up and say, oh my God, we've got to evacuate all these people. We've got to take action. And it costs 10 times as much. Kills a whole bunch of people in the process. Wouldn't we be better served to just fess up to, hey, listen, we got a problem over here, let's fix it. Not entirely clear to me why government doesn't want to fix it. There's no end to money. And George Bush is running for election trying to expand the economy and the money supply by $4 trillion between now and the end of 2005. I can't think of a better place to spend money than Rocky Flats, can you? Well, going on, the summary of issues. Number five, the new studies show how levels of radiation may be much more dangerous than previously believed, so that the cleanup and the decision to allow public access to the site might need to be reviewed. Number six, the Department of Energy admits that the cleanup plans have been impacted by the Department of Energy's inability to review its own documents, which were seized during the FBI raid and which have remained under seal ever since. Now, these Department of Energy technical documents should be released from the grand jury vault, and after the public and the regulators have reviewed them, independent verification of the cleanup should then commence. Brever also notes that Congressman Mark Udall has repeatedly asked the Department of Energy to allow her and others from ambushed grand jury citizens' investigation to go on site to show him, Department of Energy, the regulators, and the media, the areas where contamination has been excluded from the cleanup plans and where we have information indicating that a threat of radiation exposure or contamination continues to exist. The Department of Energy refused. Let me pause here for a moment. Let's ask ourselves a question. Let's suppose that we had a oil spill. And we don't want to admit that there's an oil spill, so what we do is we take all the documentation, the witnesses, the evidence, and the testimony, and we conceal it and hide it. Wouldn't you say that somebody has something to hide, and they must be hiding some kind of criminal activity? Or would you say, well, gee, just because they want to hide it and they don't want to tell us about it, it just means that we don't need to know about it because it's too complex for simple people, blue-collar workers and Joe Sixpacks and Sally Housewife. Well, my conclusion is if it's too complex for us to understand, you might as well tell us because we're not going to understand it anyway, and then we'll let you go ahead and pollute and do whatever the hell you want. But on the other hand, if we could understand it, does our common sense tell us that the reason for hiding it is because we probably would understand it and we wouldn't like what we saw, heard, and know? Now, of course, we Americans, and especially you people out in Colorado, are Democrats, aren't you? I mean, you all subscribe to the democratic process. You vote, you're registered, so on. You've heard me say on this program numerous times, the problem with democracy and the democratic process is the problem. It's not the solution. Now, here you've got this grand jury, and they're running around here writing books and getting the FBI agent that discovered this contamination to come in and testify and expose it. And it gets covered up by your government. So obviously, the government's out of control, isn't it? And if the government's out of control, well, then shouldn't the voters get it back under control? And if the government is out of control and the people should get it under control, well, how long is that going to take, and when does it start, and how do you do that? Well, Balcony and co-author McKinley also continue to call for the release of secret grand jury materials in the case. In March, the U.S. District Judge Richard Matsch, although admitting that he found grand jurors' concerns serious and substantial, he ruled that he lacked the authority to release the materials. So evidently they went into federal court and said, hey, listen, we got this problem over here and we need to solve it, so Judge, could you solve it for us? I guess he figured he couldn't. So here's the Department of Justice. They're going to hide it in Stonewall. You got the Department of Energy. They don't have the records at all. They were seized by the FBI. The FBI is a part of the Department of Justice, and they've got the records sealed up, and they're keeping them from any public exposure. And the citizens' grand jury went to the courts, and the courts can't get them released either. Now, what's that tell you about this democratic process? Well, it tells me that it doesn't include the people. It might include corporate America being protected from lawsuits. It might protect the government and politicians. It doesn't do anything for you, and it doesn't do anything for me. So don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success, folks. Get out there and vote for George Carrier, George Bush, John Carrier, George Bush. Now here's an open letter to Congress. I am an FBI agent, and my superiors have ordered me to lie about a criminal investigation that I headed in 1989. We were investigating the U.S. Department of Energy, but the U.S. Department of Justice covered up the truth. I have refused to follow orders to lie about what really happened during the criminal investigation of Rocky Flats nuclear weapons plant. Instead, I have told the author of this book the truth. Her purpose and promise to me, if I told her what really happened, was that she would put it in a book and tell Congress and the American people. Some dangerous decisions are now being made based upon that government cover-up. Please read this book. I believe you know what needs to happen. Respectfully, John Lipsky. All right, now here's a letter addressed by an FBI agent to Congress. All right, now let's see here. The Department of Energy knows about it. The Department of Justice knows about it. The FBI knows about it. And now the Congress of the United States has been told by the investigating FBI agent, here's what I found, and there's a big cover-up here, and I'm a whistleblower, and I want you to investigate it. Now, have you heard the Congress jumping up and down getting excited about Rocky Flats? I haven't heard a word. I've never seen anything. And I'll tell you where this report comes from, boys and girls, so that you can get a copy of it yourself. It's called The Calamity Howler, published by A.V. Krebs at earthlink.net. You can get a copy for a charge. What Krebs asks for is voluntary contributions. He's not telling you that this report is $5, $10, or $20, or anything else. He says it's free of charge to receive. Just send your name and address. Just get on the email. It comes over the email. So just get on the email. It's A-V-K-R-E-B-S, A-V Krebs. It's easy enough, at earthlink.net. Simple, simple address. Just send your name and address, and he'll send you the Calamity Howler issue number 14. Tell him you want the Calamity Howler issue number 14. And I think he'll do that for you. I subscribe to it, and I recommend it to my readers. Now, of course, when you get that, you'll get the Agribusiness Examiner. I think he sends both of them. Now, he publishes these two newsletters. This one happens to be 23 pages. It's a 23-page report on Rocky Flats and associated information of McCurr. Was it? I guess McCurr-Gee or something like that. It's a defense contractor, and they're being protected, just like Halliburton over in Iraq. They're protected by the Bush administration. Well, McCurr-Gee is being protected by the government the same way. In fact, this occurred back into the first Bush administration back in 1992. All right, now we'll take a look at an analysis of the Department of Energy cleanup plans for four areas at Rocky Flats. The cover-up continues. Remember, this is written, this letter, or this book, rather, is written by a lady by the name of Jacques, J-A-C-Q-U-E-B-R-E-V-E-R. Evidently, it's a female. She starts off by saying that the Department of Energy soon plans to announce completion of its cleanup of the former Rocky Flats nuclear weapons plant. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has already publicly released its preferred plans to allow hiking, biking, school field trips, and other public access to the Superfund site, soon to become the Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge. It is relying on Department of Energy to have properly cleaned up the contamination. Now, in the recently published book, The Ambushed Grand Jury, we attempt to inform Congress and the public officials responsible for Rocky Flats about the dangers of opening this former nuclear weapons plant to recreation. And our concerns are due in large part to the data showing widespread contamination of the site and a pattern and practice by the Department of Energy of attempting to conceal it. Since publication of the book, we have made an in-depth study of the Department of Energy's cleanup plans, reviewing all of the pertinent cleanup documents, and we found that the Department of Energy's pattern of concealment and deception continues and creates an increased risk of contamination of the public. Well, hang on, I'll be back after this break with more on Rocky Flats. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review. Tonight's report on the Rocky Flats Arsenal cleanup site. Stand by, and we'll be right back with more on it. Hey, you know, when you're making $50,000 a year, you're paying $7,650 in Social Security taxes. Then you pay a 17% income tax on that same $50,000. That takes another $8,500. That means that you just paid an extra $1,300 by paying your tax on a tax. That makes the real effective Social Security tax rate 17.8%. It's not the 15.3% that's being advertised. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call me here at the law school? The number's 417-273-4967. Help take a bite out of crime and call me and ask for my free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. Remember, it's entertaining, educational, informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Tax and status is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, just go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email. Send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, tonight's report comes from the Calamity Howler, published by A.V. Krebs, talking about Rocky Flats arsenal. Congressman Mark Udall has repeatedly asked the Department of Energy to allow the author of this paper and others from the ambushed grand jury citizens investigation to go on site to show him, the Department of Energy, the regulators, and the media, the areas where the contamination has been excluded from the cleanup plans and where we have information indicating that a threat of radiation exposure or contamination still exists. Now, we have examined four specific contaminated areas at the site, which are illustrative of problems with the cleanup elsewhere at Rocky Flats. The Department of Energy's own documents reveal that the cleanup of the East spray fields is based on false statements by the Department of Energy to the regulators, the EPA, and the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Now, these false statements have caused the majority of the East spray fields, which were repeatedly spray irrigated during the 1980s with sewage treatment plant effluent contaminated with radioactive and toxic waste. It has been excluded from the cleanup, and the Department of Energy is also totally excluded from the cleanup two other areas of known contamination, and that is the building number 771, Duck Pond, and the landfill near the wind site. The 881 hillside cleanup is deemed complete, and yet there are two areas of contamination in the 881 hillside which violate the regulatory standards. They and eight other areas in 881 hillside where the Department of Energy is leaving radioactive and toxic waste in the surface and subsurface soils and are immediately up gradient of the major planned recreational access in the wildlife refuge. Now, let me pause here for a second. Why are they going to leave that there? I mean, if you're going to spend $7 billion to clean up this site, yeah, that's right. We'll see here a little later. The price tag on this is $7 billion to clean up 6,000 acres. Now, that's quite a chunk of cash. Let me just do a couple of numbers here. If you got $7 billion, that's 7,000 million. And you divide that by 6,000 acres, 6,000 acres. That's $1.16 million. $1.16 million an acre. That's the most expensive piece of real estate on planet Earth, right now, today. Now, you stop and think for a minute. You know, land here in Missouri sells for around $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 an acre. That's farmland all over the state. You can buy recreational land here on the lake for $10,000 an acre, and we're talking about $1.16 million. That's $1 million an acre to clean this up. Now, it would seem like to me that for that kind of money, we could go ahead and do the job and do it right, don't you? Now, if the government is going to spend $89 billion on Iraq, and that was just for the year 2004, the fiscal year 2003-2004, they'll be back for another $90 billion for Iraq for the fiscal year 2004 and 2005, won't they? Now, you could build a fence around this 6,000 acres and declare it off-site. Don't let anybody onto it. Just a waste area. And you might be doing some people some favors. Now, remember Love Canal up in New York? Remember this thing down here in Missouri where they had this dioxin? And they went in there and they cleaned it up. They weren't spending $1 million an acre to clean that up. Now, let's think about one more little problem. You know, people are opposed to this Yucca Mountain project where we're going to take this nuclear waste. Don't you think that if during the years when all of this radioactivity, these radioactive waste products were being generated at Rocky Flat, if we'd have had a Yucca Mountain, and we could have shipped that stuff and stuck it in the mountain instead of spreading it all over and hiding it on the surface soil of 6,000 acres, 16 miles from downtown Denver, don't you think that would make a lot more sense? I mean, irrespective of you Nevadans out there and what you think about storing that nuclear waste in your state or Yucca Mountain, it just makes more sense to me to stick that waste into one big pile someplace where we know where it's at and we can keep track of it. Now, remember, you got all these nuclear power plants all over the country, and they, just like this Rocky Flats, are storing their nuclear waste on site. And that on-site, you know, those power plants up and down the Ohio River are, you know, within miles and a few miles of populated areas. Are we really sure that we want to store this volatile nuclear waste on these sites, or do you think maybe it makes more sense to take it to an arid region and stick it in the base of a mountain? You know, my common sense says it looks like to me that we'd all be better off if we stuck it in a mountain someplace and kept track of it, rather than try to bury it in the surface soil, ignore it, pretend it doesn't exist, lie about it, hide it, and then turn it into a park and let your kids go play in it. You know, somehow to me, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't want to get in the way of you people out there with your democratic process now. Now, at many other locations at Rocky Flats, the Department of Energy's cleanup plans also leave radioactive and toxic wastes in place, both within and adjacent to the wildlife refuge, based on the claim that the contamination will not reach people using the site. Yet this claim is brought into question by the Department of Energy's admissions elsewhere in the cleanup documents. Thus, the Department of Energy's cleanup is of great concern because recent studies show that low doses of radioactivity may be much more dangerous than previously thought. In fact, based on these recent studies, the levels of radioactive contamination the Department of Energy is permitted to leave in the surface soils may not be protective of human health and should be reevaluated before public access is allowed. Well, let me pause here for a second. Let's think about this. We've got low levels of radioactivity. I don't know what the standards are, but you know, if there are standards, let's say for Pacific Gas and Electric Company in California, and you've got standards for Three Mile Island, and somebody called experts tells us that these are the standards that we have to follow, don't you think we ought to follow those standards? You know, my common sense says, well, looks like to me, just because the U.S. government's running a nuclear bomb plant and PG&E is running a nuclear electric plant, if the standards for health, safety, and welfare of the public are ABC, that we ought to follow those ABC standards, shouldn't we? Well, I don't know. It seems like here that the government's saying, in effect, to us that these standards can be breached because we're the government, but PG&E, they can't breach these standards because that's just private business. Now you got the anti-nuclear folks, you know, the greenies out there, and their conclusion is, see, we told you so. You ought to abolish all nuclear energy, period. You know, if we followed that kind of reasoning, wouldn't we come to the conclusion that when an airplane crashes, see, what did I tell you? Those damn airplanes, they ain't safe. We better ban all airplanes. Or gosh, 40,000 people got killed in car wrecks last year, so therefore we need to ban automobiles. Oh gosh, there was a 3-mile island in a Chernobyl, so therefore we ought to close down all nuclear power plants. I don't follow that kind of ludicrous reasoning. It would seem like to me that if you can regulate and control automobiles, you ought to be able to regulate and control nuclear waste. Now, just because the government's criminal, I don't know, you guys are all politicians out there, you know you vote, don't you? And evidently, people here in America at least must believe that they can control their government, but it looks like to me that in this case, the government's out of control. And they're protecting this Kerr McGee multinational nuclear, well, what are they? They're a multinational, they're a nuclear company, a nuclear subcontractor or contractor. And as a result of that, they're going to hide from us. In other words, what would you think if your highway patrol was out here hiding the number of people being killed and injured in automobiles? Wouldn't we say, well, gosh, we got to do something about that? Wouldn't we all say, gosh, we don't want these statistics to be fudged. We don't want the highway patrol lying to us about the number of people that are getting killed here on the 4th of July. What would the highway patrol have to gain from it? What does the government have to gain by hiding and lying to us? It looks like to me a lot of people could get injured thereby. We wouldn't say that's all right for the highway patrol. Why is it then all right for Kerr McGee and the Department of Energy, the FBI and the Justice Department to cover up and hide this nuclear waste? You know, sometimes these greenies and these environmentalists serve a good purpose for all of us, don't they? At least they blew the whistle and told us there was a problem, didn't they? Hang on, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with more right after this. All right, you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, tonight's report on the Rocky Flats nuclear cleanup scandal. Now, you know, when the federal income tax was launched back in 1913, the tax was levied only on the super wealthy, the richest one-half of 1% of our population, with a top tax rate of only 7%. Today, of course, the fears of the early opponents of the income tax have been more than fully realized. By the end of Herbert Hoover's term, the top rate had jumped to 60%, and by the time Franklin D. Roosevelt was done, the top rate was over 90%, and the tax had been dramatically expanded to seize the incomes of the middle class for the first time. Back in 1913, the average family had to work until January 30th in order to earn enough to satisfy the tax man at all levels. This year, the average American family had to work all the way through May 12th in order to earn enough to pay their federal, state, and local tax bills. Now, when you compare that to the plight of medieval serfs, said economist Daniel J. Mitchell, they only had to give the lord of the manor a third of their output, and they were considered slaves. Now, what does that make us? This income tax and Social Security violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant, including our English common law. The income tax and Social Security tax are two criminal activities. The income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, and Social Security is the eighth. You know, that's why I contend that you ought to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? For more information about tax and status, just call me at 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Tax and status is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email. Send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the Rocky Flats nuclear arsenal. It's being converted into a state park. It's 6,000 acres of contaminated real estate. It's being cleaned up, and they're spending $7 billion. That's $1.16 million an acre to clean it up. That's a pretty good sum. That's pretty tidy. It would seem like to me that for that kind of money, $7 billion on a piece of real estate, you could build a fence around it and lock it off, and you'd protect more people and spend a whole lot less money. The tragedy of it all is that this contamination is contained in the topsoil, which when it rains, or when the snow melts, it delivers this plutonium and other radioactive ingredients and pollutants down into the subsurface water, the water table. And then, you know, this stuff has a half-life of about 30 million years or something like that. They always tell us, you know, it's 30 million years or 30 billion years, depending upon who you're listening to. Which means that it's going to be there for a long, long time. And then it's pretty toxic stuff. You know, plutonium, it only takes a few parts per million when you inhale it to kill you. Pretty toxic poison. And they got tons of it out there. And the people that are writing the books, one of them an FBI agent, 23 members of a grand jury, and a lot of other people who worked at the site and knew firsthand and came in and testified before the grand jury, and all said that, hey, listen, this thing's pretty dangerous, and we don't think that you ought to convert this into a park to let your little kiddies come down here and swing. You know, they got a ban now in our state. They used to build these playgrounds, you know, with this lumber that was treated with arsenic. And it keeps the lumber, you know, in these playgrounds, the stands and the decks and things in the playground for little kids. Well, come to find out, the children are picking up this arsenic out of these boards, and so now they're banning the stuff. You know, I thought that was kind of suspicious, but I thought, well, gosh, it must be all right. They've approved it for sale to the public. It really works good. You can put it right on the ground. You won't. The bacteria, the insects, termites, nothing can attack it for 30 years. Of course, then it leaches out into the soil. You know, it rains on these boards. And then the water coming off the boards go down into the soil. And then this arsenic is down in the soil, killing all the microbes. Sterilizes your soil. So we've come to the conclusion that arsenic in the treated lumber, you know, arsenic-treated lumber isn't too good for you. I find it hard to believe that if arsenic's bad for you, that plutonium can be much better. Do you? Now they say here Appendix A contains five maps. Map 1 shows the locations of the Department of Energy's remedial investigation as of October 2002. Map 2 shows the areas of contaminated spray irrigation in the East Spray Fields, which the Department of Energy excluded from the cleanup. Map 3 shows the location of two of the other contaminated areas that the Department of Energy has excluded from the cleanup. Map 4 shows the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service sighting of the majority of the public recreational facilities near the areas where the Department of Energy's cleanup admittedly violates the regulatory standards, and near eight other areas in Hillside 881, where the Department of Energy is also leaving radioactive and toxic contamination in place. Map 5 shows all of the public acknowledged areas of radioactive and toxic contamination at Rocky Flats, which the Department of Energy wants to leave in place. We provide this information to the public, the media, and the regulators, the Department of Energy and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, in an attempt to avoid still further harm to the public from the Department of Energy's continuing cover-up at Rocky Flats. Well, the Department of Energy's cleanup of the East Spray Fields is based on false statements and false permit applications and excludes the most dangerous contaminants and the majority of the contaminated area from the cleanup. Well, after all, if Kerr McGee has to pay anything on this, or if Kerr McGee has or stands any type of legal liability, is that why the government then is trying to protect them? I mean, I can't understand for the life of me what the problem is, unless they figure there's some kind of, I mean, this contamination has to be so bad that the political fallout from it is going to hurt the politicians. It's the only thing I can figure. You know, if I had something like here on my farm, wouldn't my neighbors want to know about it? You know, if I was flushing cow manure down a creek over here and out into the lake, they'd be on me like flies on stink. I would contend with you boys and girls, the cow manure out there in the lake is a whole lot less problem to health and sanitation and cancer and your life and livelihood than is plutonium in your public parks, don't you think? I mean, after all, you know, there's deer, you know, out here in the wild, and there's cows and buffalo and all kinds of animals, and when they go big, they don't care whether they're standing in the middle of the creek or whether they're standing up on the ground or in the barnyard. And yet, you know, the government's just real concerned about my cows going big in this creek and flushing or washing down into the lake. It's been going on for thousands of years, never heard anybody yet. Boy, they get excited about things like that. You know, it would seem like to me that plutonium in the topsoil leaching down into the water table 16 miles from downtown Denver is a whole lot more serious than one of my cows going big in the creek, don't you? And then the East Spray Fields are located on the north and south sides of the East Access Road. It's called Central Avenue on the plan site, which is a main entrance to Rocky Flats. And throughout the 1980s, the Department of Energy regularly sprayed sewage treatment plant effluent on these fields. And the Department of Energy estimates that up to 20 million gallons per year of effluent was disposed in this manner. When used, the spray system often saturated the soils near the spray fields, leading to overland flow of the sprayed effluent into the detention ponds. Now, the department's cleanup of the East Spray Fields is based on false statements and false permit applications and excludes the most dangerous contaminants, such as radioactive wastes in the sewage, and the majority of the contaminated area has been excluded from the cleanup, and it was a common occurrence for runoff from this spray irrigation to reach the creeks draining into the drinking water reservoirs for Bloomfield and Westminster and other nearby communities. I mean, that was going on past tense, boys and girls. The Department of Energy made false statements to the regulators and the public about the East Sprayfields cleanup. To determine what type of cleanup would be necessary for the East Sprayfields, the Department of Energy first had to determine whether there were any radioactive or toxic contaminants in the sewage treatment plant effluent which had been sprayed on them. The Department of Energy did this by using old sampling data from the 1980s, advising the regulators that the analysis of treated sanitary effluent discharged to pond B3 and actual analysis of the pond water are representative of the water applied to the East Sprayfields. So the quoted statement from the DOE is false. Didn't happen that way. The effluent was analyzed only for the constituents which the DOE was allowed by its National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, the permit, to discharge to the sewage treatment plant. And they left out the plutonium and other nuclear elements that were in the sewage that was sprayed on the fields. However, the DOE has direct knowledge that radioactive and toxic chemicals, which were not allowed under the permit, had nonetheless been regularly and illegally discharged to the sewage treatment plant, and that the Department of Energy did not analyze, nor did they report these contaminants to the regulators. Therefore, as the Department of Energy knows, the analysis are not representative of the water which was sprayed on these East fields, contrary to the department's representations to the regulators. Here's the important part. You people that live downstream have already been contaminated. You know, you people that are downstream over the years. You know, it's just like living there at Love Canal, isn't it? And you know, we didn't find out for 30 years that this contaminated Love Canal was causing cancer and killing people. Don't you think we ought to fess up? Kind of like those nuclear bombs that were detonated down in southern Nevada, and the wind was blowing the nuclear fallout over to St. George and killing people over there. Didn't find that out for 30 years. Well, you got the same problem, don't you, right here at this park. They're going to create a park. Don't you think it'll take about another 30 years to figure out how many people that's going to get killed there? It would seem like to me, if you knew that Love Canal was going to kill a lot of people, that you'd stop doing it before it happened. It's one thing to find out 30 years after the fact. It's something else to know 30 years before the fact and then pretend that it doesn't exist, don't you think? And this is a case where we now know from past experience, St. George, Utah, Love Canal, Times Beach, and now Rocky Flats Nuclear Arsenal. Don't you think it's about time to act before the fact rather than after the fact? All right. I'm about out of time. We're going to have to knock it off. And we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, with more on this nuclear flat story. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, just go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. All right, there's the signal. Says my time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.